probably a blessing that she moved on to glory. Oh, that's so horrible. What a vicious disease. A vicious disease. Well, that's different. Oh, okay. Really? Connie? Oh. Well, that was before my time. I went here 7 years. They've got to be like 20-some years old at least. But they seem to be in good shape.
Test 1, 2. I need some more sound, please, up here. Thank you. That's good right there. Yeah, that's good. And test 1, 2. Buckle my shoe. All right. Ron, don't worry. People trickle in. They just trickle. It's kind of like, this is kind of like a little creek. They just trickle in. You know, we usually get started earlier, but I think it's been, we're having a little sound technical situation this morning. Okay, and Diane, waiting for Diane with the liturgy. Praise the Lord. Well, can the folks hear me at home? Can the good folks hear me at home? Carol, can they hear me? They can't see me, but can they hear me? Huh? Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Hope you want to welcome our visitors here today, and want to welcome. I met Ron last weekend. Ron, would you introduce yourself and tell folks about yourself, where you're from, and tell them how you came to the Sukkot last weekend. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just glad for your obedience to the Lord. He drove, when he says he drove up and down the Volunteer Parkway miles. You drove all the way down to Bristol and then back past the Speedway. 2 times. And then the road to the Sukkot in the mountains is about a half a mile long just to get there. So he sought us out. All right. And then we have the lovely Janice Sattel in the front seat. And who are you in the third row there? Janice, would you introduce yourself and tell us who, lovely lady, who you brought with you today? Where is that? Okay. All right. My son played in Cock County last night, football in Cock County. Is that near there? Okay, that's where my son was. That's why he's not here. Got home very late. Anyway, welcome. Glad to have you with us today, both of you. All right, are we ready to get started? Huh?
2 minutes.
Dos minutos. Dos Equis, the most interesting man, the most interesting rabbi in the world, and I don't drink Dos Equis. But I'm about as old as he is. Okay. Well, while they're preparing the sound, just want to just report on, we had an incredible feast, Sukkot in the mountains, last weekend. We had Sukkot with Deborah Klein, Ian Torno, and Vince, and I preached Friday and Saturday. We had a powerful young man come up from North Carolina Saturday night, and he spoke on the feast. And then Sunday, Pastor Bill closed us out, Pastor Bill Christian. It was beautiful. The weather was beautiful. We had a great tent, and it was 100 acres on a 100-acre farm. And it was, now hopefully, if we do it again next year, we have to meet and see if we're going to do it, but if we do it with them next year, they've got 400 spots for RVs, 400 spots. We could fit a tent up there like the tabernacle. We could probably fit, I don't know about that big, but at least 1,000 to 2,000 people if we have, you know, that's how much we could at least get. We could get a tent for 2,000 people if we needed to. But what we got to do is pray. And this year we did it. We didn't plan it early enough, but it was great. We had a great, did we have a good time, Ron? Amen. It was awesome. It was, anyone who wasn't there missed it, didn't they? I don't know how many people, I didn't count. It was, we had five services, so I couldn't tell you. I mean, it was probably 125, 150 people throughout, different people throughout the weekend. Some came. Well, yeah, this is a church on a 100-acre farm. And okay, well, we can talk later. Yeah. So I don't think this would be a campground for a full year. They closed down the campsites in the winter. So there's it's just a summer and fall kind of place, spring, summer, and fall. And they're not winterized campsites, so I don't know if an outdoor campground, if that's what they'd be looking for. But anyhow, so if you missed it, well, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And Carolyn, did you enjoy it last week?
Oh, yes, it was great.
Amen.
Marvelous.
What did you like best about it? You can talk a little bit closer to your mic, please.
The best? The praise and worship.
The praise and worship. Amen.
Of everything, yes.
Amen.
That's dear to my heart. I loved it.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to start. All right. Hello there, Kelly and John. Good morning.
Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Bisimcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Bisimcha, Ora Bisimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora Bisimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha. For Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled Sabbath of his rest, Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. All right. I'm also going to do that again so you guys clap your hands and join me with it. Let's do that again. Let's do Yom Zeh Yisrael. Can we do that again? This time I want to ask you to clap your hands and join me. It's all together. Okay, it's a package. So I'll ask you to clap your hands next time. Okay, Anthony, would you do the blessing of the Messiah, please?
Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Let's all say that together. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
King of the universe,
who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen. Okay. Matovu.
Mishkenoteha Israel, how goodly thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacle.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Okay. All right, let's do the Vishamru. Yeah. Here we go, it's on the screen. Visham Ruvene Israel et Hashabat Lasot et Hashabat Led Doro Tamberit Olam.
Visham Ruvene Israel et Hashabat Lasot et Hashabat
Led Doro Tamberit Olam.
B'nei Avnei,
B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Ohili Olam, V'shamru, B'nei Yisrael, Et HaShabbat, Lasot et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Berit Olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shamayim v'et haaretz. You guys can clap. B'nei Yisrael et HaShabbat, lasot et HaShabbat, ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi, Shabbat v'inafash, Shabbat v'inafash, Shabbat v'inafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat,
Lasod et hashabat ledoro tamburito lam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Okay.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. To you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. And Anthony, would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Israel and in the diaspora?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us for Shabbat, Lord. May we enter in and truly rest in the peace that you have given us, Lord. We pray today for the country of Israel, Lord, and for the capital of the whole universe is actually Jerusalem, Lord. And we pray that your peace shall fall upon that great capital, Lord, of your universe, Lord, of your creation today, Lord. And that you will touch all the people that live there, and they will realize that your Son has come at the first time, Lord, and he will return again, but they will acknowledge him, and Lord, and receive him into their lives, into their hearts, Lord. We pray that you will protect Israel, protect the United States, Lord, and may we have a greater emphasis of protection and help upon the nation of Israel today, and acknowledge her more in the coming days that are ahead, Lord, because darkness is truly coming, Lord. And I think as believers, that makes our light mean to shine even brighter, Lord, because as it gets darker, we need to shine brighter. And the days are upon us, Lord. But we pray for all of our Messianic communities, Lord, around the world, our rabbis, our pastors, the song leaders, the dancers, Lord, musicians. We pray that they'll have a great day today, Lord, that you will anoint the rabbis' words, Lord, today, and that you will truly speak to each of us through the rabbis today, Lord. We ask that you bless our congregation, Lord, that we can continue to improve our property here, Lord, that we can fix the fellowship hall, Lord, and get what needs to be done there accomplished, Lord. For it's for your glory, your kingdom, Lord, that we labor here on New Hampshire Avenue, Lord. We just ask today that you bless us, bless those that have come today to worship you today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
I want to give a praise report in spite of all the deluge. Everybody say deluge of rain last week. We didn't have a single drop. We've had three floods in the last 7 or 8 weeks in our fellowship hall. If you look down there, it's it's trashed on the inside. But we sealed it on the inside, and then we put drains on the outside, a French drain, and we put flashing. We built a hill along the wall so that water would, instead of flowing into the cracks in the ground along the wall, that it would roll down the wall into the French drain. We didn't have a single drop of water. Amen. Not a single drop. Hallelujah. Noah's Ark has been completed. Praise God. I'm telling you, we sealed that thing. All right, Anthony, would you do the servant of the Lord, please?
Now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to Him, and gather Israel to Himself, for he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
As they say in these parts, amen. Hey, is the camera lens open? Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Welcome, friends on the internet. We want to welcome you today. Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're with us. If you're watching today, and sorry we got a late start. We had some technical difficulties at the beginning, but that's the risk you pay of live messianic worship. So we're glad you're here, and hope you enjoy the service today. I believe God has a prophetic word for us. But we're going to continue with our liturgy and our worship, and then we'll get to my message. Okay, sound good? All right, let's all stand up for the Shema. Well, actually, do we have Avinu Malkeinu? All right, you can all sing along with us.
Avinu, Avinu Malkeinu.
Maker of all things,
Maker of all things,
doing all the works of your hands,
of your hands.
You loved us so,
you loved us so,
you sent your Son
to take our sin
and shame. Our Avinu Malkeinu, Maker of all things,
doing all the
works of your hands,
of your hands.
You loved us so,
you sent your
Son
to take our sin and shame.
Please rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham b'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'letecha v'aderech u'v'shachpecha u'v'kumecha u'kishartam liot al yadecha v'hayu l'totafot b'neinecha u'chatavtam al mezuzot b'teicha u'v'sharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlet between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. There will be a test on the Via Havta in Hebrew sung 9:30 p.m. Monday night here. See who shows up. Okay, I'm going to ask Wendell and Bill to, if they would come and prepare. And I'm going to ask Xavier to come. And Wendell, would you show Xavier how to carry the Torah and watch over him? And Bill, you can come too. Bill and Anthony, if you would open the ark, that would be great. Thank you.
Kodesh Lo Ratei Lo O Sefele O Sefele Who is like
to that is Ein Kamocha Ba'eini Madonai Ba'Ein Kamasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim Umimsheltecha Bechol Dor Vador Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Leolam Vahed Adonai Adonai Varech Etamo Vashalom. There is none like you among the gods. There's nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us process. Yeah. Bill, would you help Xavier? Would you help Xavier? Adonai Eloheinu, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzakenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Tzakenu, Adonai Yeshuatenu. Baruch Shem Kivol Machuto Machuto Liolam Liolam Baed. Baruch Shem Kivol Machuto Machuto Liolam Liolam Baed. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu. Baruch Shem Kivod Machuto Machuto Liolam Liolam Baed. Baruch Shem Kivod Machuto Machuto Liolam Liolam Baed. You guys fooled me back there. you pulled my leg. They got me started on that song, and then they stopped and left me going. But what you didn't know is that Rabbi keeps going. He's like the Energizer Bunny, except he's human. Okay, what's next, Miss Diane? Huh? Bazoot? Gotta find it here. Lord help me. Okay, well, I'll just do it from memory. Vizot HaTorah Asher Samoshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai V'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. That Torah right there. That one. Hallelujah. What's next there? Vayehi ben Soharon Vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai Viafutsu Oivecha Vianusu Misanecha Mipanecha Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah Udevar Adonai, mi Yerushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah, Liamo Yisrael, Bikdu Shato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He who in his holiness gave the Torah, his people Israel. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, you guys sat down pretty quick. Okay. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruchu et Adonai Hamavora, Baruch Adonai Rachim Ba'ed, Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim, V'natan Lanu et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Before I let Anthony begin while he's getting ready, I just want to say I was talking to our administrative assistant the other day, and they have some Jewish friends who are, this fellow goes to church. He's not a believer. Goes to church with his wife, but he doesn't know the Lord. And he goes to church, and he's kind of just confused. He's asking for a Torah. And so I suggested a book on testimonies and prophecies of the Messiah from individuals that would give him messianic prophecies. Because I read the Torah when I was looking for the Lord, and that didn't help me find him just reading through the five books. It was when I found the messianic prophecies and read the New Testament that's what really led me to the Lord. So, but she's going to make sure he gets a Bible with the Torah in it, you know, a Jewish Bible. But anyway, the point is that this man, our assistant went to I don't know if she went. She was with them, and they were, you know, she was singing some songs, and at a service, and in Hebrew, it was a messianic service or something, or you know, and they were amazed that she knew the songs, you know, that she could sing Hebrew, that she knew any of it, you know, that she knew any of the prayers, any of the blessings. So why do we do this? Why don't we just be Baptists? Why don't we just be Methodists? Well, because Jewish people, you know, and we're going to talk about that some today. The Jewish people need to know the Lord, and they need to know salvation. But when Gentiles, you know, go up to Jewish people and say, "You need the blood," Jews are like, "Oh, why do I need the blood?" They don't. What do I need the blood for? You know, what's all this about blood, you know? And even though the Bible says in Leviticus, you know, Leviticus 17:11, for I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement, the rabbis took away blood sacrifice 1,900 years ago. Really, 1,900 years? So the Jewish people today, 1,900 years later, like, what's blood? You know, blood is something that happens when you cut your arm or you cut your leg, you know. You get a gunshot wound, that's blood. Open heart surgery, you know, it's bloody. But they don't think about blood sacrifice, blood atonement. It's just not natural for Jewish people. They don't think about it. And we don't need it. They don't, you know, we would say, Jewish people would say, we don't need a sacrifice. Very religious Jews do. They cut a chicken's throat, and then at Yom Kippur, they'll take the chicken in their kitchen and they'll start swinging it around. I have pictures of this. I can show you. an Orthodox, some very, very Orthodox Jews, not all of them, they'll take a chicken and they'll cut its throat and they'll start, a live chicken, and they'll cut its throat and start swinging it around the kitchen, and the blood's squirting all over the place. And they say, let this chicken take my sins and the sins of my family upon itself. And they'll offer their own sacrifice in their own kitchen, which is not in the Bible, and it doesn't say to take a chicken. But, you know, everybody likes a nice chicken, right? So even Jews like chicken. Right? What's that? Wendell would know how to cook that chicken. All right. Anthony, would you take over and get me out of here?
Okay, I'm going to help Rabbi get out of this, okay? Okay, today's parasha, and we re-rolled the scroll while everyone slept. Just one comment. Last week on the sixth day of Sukkot, I got some emails from Israel, and there was a strange occurrence happened at the collar of the wedding wall while they were saying the morning prayers. A mist came over that entire area, and it stayed. It was like in the daytime now. Usually when the sun gets up, the mist or dew will go away. But this mist stayed there for over 30 minutes, and it was just gone in a snap of the finger. So they thought that was very significant, being it happened at Sukkot. It's never happened again that anybody remembers, but it was quite an event. So today we start back at the beginning, Bereshit, which Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 6. It means in the beginning. And I think, you know, the whole scriptures are contained in these first three words of Genesis. Bereshit, bara Elohim, which is, the heavenly in the beginning, God created. If you read that from the Torah scroll in the Hebrew, you will see that it contains the Aleph and the Tav, which is the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that is what Yeshua said when he was here in John 1:15. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was Yeshua. And he says, I am the Aleph and the Tav. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So he was at the beginning of creation. Yeshua was there. So we start back at the beginning. And, you know, it's interesting to note that the first thing that God created or spoke into existence was light. And it's odd because there wasn't anything there, but God spoke, the first thing God did, he spoke light, because at that time the earth was void and it was dark. You see, when you look at light, it has no value by itself. Only its usefulness depends upon other things which are illuminated or benefit from it, like plants benefit from the sun. We benefit from the lights or from the sun so we can see. You see, it was the preparation that God made first with the light that made the way for all else and his creation to be created. He made everything ready for Ish or Adam, or Adamah, as he made Adam. Adam was the only creature, if you can use that term, that God made. The animals he spoke into existence. He did not physically make them, but Adam he took from the soil of the earth. And you see, what is so interesting, Hebrew for light and for secret has the same grammatical value. They're almost the same word, because the light from God created was like a secret. I think that secret was, like we said in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God. And Yeshua also said, I am the light of the world. And I think God was saying and hidden there with that the light was Yeshua. That was the secret of what was to come. Because with darkness and light, you have evil and you have good because of the two. You know, when God made, on the first day, God created, he made light and he removed the darkness from the light. On the second day, he formed the heavens and he divided the upper water from the lower waters. On the third day, he made the boundaries of the land and the sea, and he called out trees and greenery from the earth to come forth from the earth. On the fourth day, he positioned the sun, the moon, and the stars. and the sun and the moon became our timekeepers. And they became things that would illuminate the daytime and illuminate the nighttime. And, of course, the stars get their light from the moon and the sun. So he was a way to make aware that later on that we would that they would continue, as they do today, to be our timekeepers, to make us aware of the time. On the fifth day, God made fish, birds, and reptiles. And on the sixth day, he made land animals, and he made Adam. And Adam, or Ish, as he became, as he was, as I said, was formed from the dust of the earth. And you see, when God breathed life into Ish, he became the living soul. And I was reading some this week of some of the writings from some of the sages from many centuries ago, and they said when God blew into Adam, that it was like the sound of the shofar. It's like the sound of a baby crying when it's first born. That is the sound that the shofar makes. It's that eerie squeal-like, and it announces life. And so when God made Adam a living soul, it sounded like the blast of the shofar, like a newborn baby was born. You see, when God created our souls, it originates deeper within God than any other animal or any other thing in creation, because we're the only creation that God made that has a living soul that is eternal, and that soul is always connected back to God. We can never separate our soul from God. So it doesn't matter, you know, I know rabbis talk several times about where will you spend eternity, and if you don't make a choice, you're really making a choice, but whether you know it or not, your soul will live in eternity somewhere, heaven or hell forever. It's eternal. It cannot be destroyed. Satan may afflict people, and he can do a lot of things, but he cannot destroy the soul that God has made and placed inside of you. That's eternal. And I hope this year, as we study the Torah, that we'll learn more about life as we study. We probably won't get all the answers, and we may never get all the answers here on earth, but we're going to study it. And, you know, God formed the first marriage there when he made Eve, or Isha, from Adam's side. The two became one. And I hadn't really thought about it, but I know last week Bill Christian made an interesting point that two is the first number that you can divide. You can divide a two, but you can't divide a one. So that's why God says you will leave your father and your mother, and a man shall cling unto his wife, and the two shall be one. The two shall be one. You know, I've spoke several times about the names in Hebrew of Ish and Isha, how when you, that God's name is concealed within them. It's Yah is God's name that is concealed within Ish and Isha. And when you remove that, that's the two letters. Both names have the same letters except these two that are different, each one that makes Yah. But when you take the letters that Yah out, you have Ish, which is fire. So God is telling us that in a marriage between a man and a woman, you will have God within that marriage. When you have two men, two women, God is not in there, because Isha doesn't have Yah in the name, and Ish doesn't have Yah. It takes both names to form the name of God. So just to close this morning, you know, Yeshua has finished the work. Like for the Shabbat on the seventh day, God rested from all his labors. And on the seventh day, we rest today on the seventh day. I think, you know, when you look at the story of creation, you see God's redemptive story actually starts there in the creation, right there in the Garden of Eden. And he provided a way, he started the way for a deliverer to deliver mankind from the curse of the law, or from the curse of sin. And it was by the seed of a woman that God did that with Yeshua. Shabbat Shalom. Please rise. Om Chaya Merusha Tira.
Chenoam, Bechol Nativotecha, Shalom. Ashiveinu Adonai, Elecha v'nashuva. Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem.
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old, please. In Yeshua's name, amen. You know, my dad always used to say, people would say, Aaron, how are you? He'd say, 20 years ago, I was better. So, just the scripture says, renew our days as of old. Dad used to say, 20 years ago, I was better, you know? Amen. All right. Thank you, Anthony. Good word. Okay, we have announcements, I believe. Okay. Well, I already mentioned we had a wonderful Sukkot celebration last week. Who was able to get to Sukkot? Praise God. Wow, good. Quite a few people in the room. All right. If you didn't get to Sukkot, well, I'll talk about it a little bit later. But anyways, we had a great time. We had a fantastic, fantastic time. And, I mean, special. Usually we do Sukkot here, and we build a sukkah, which is a booth or a tent outside we have a parking and a park, little green area there. We have a sukkah out there right now. It's just not decorated. And this year we had a church, New Life Baptist Church, asked me several months ago back at Passover. They said, Rabbi Joe, they said, we would like to do Sukkot with you. This year, we would like to know if you'd like to do Sukkot with us. And I said, "Wow, you know, I've done feasts for churches. I have taught at churches. I have been given permission to use church buildings to do Passovers, but very rarely, if maybe I could count them on my hand, one hand, how many times a church has said, Rabbi Joe, We want to do the feast with you. We want to share in the labor. We want to do the work. We want to be part of it. We want to do it together with you. That is the key. That is the key right there. And hope maybe we'll get to that too. But anyway, we just had a. It's not about numbers. This was our first time doing it. We started advertising it late. We didn't get the word out, but I think there's folks who have campers, folks who like to camp in the Messianic community all over from coast to coast, who wouldn't love to come to a 100-acre farm of rolling hills with cows and horses in the next field over that you can see, beautiful stallions and horses and cattle, you know, roaming and grazing, and then you're in the hills. You're surrounded by forest, and then to have a big tabernacle out there in the field next to a building with amenities and meals served. We had Friday night supper, Saturday morning breakfast, Saturday night supper, Sunday morning breakfast for $25. Registration for adults was $25, including meals, and for kids 12 and under it was $15. For the weekend. I mean, that didn't cover the cost of the food. Now, if you brought a camper, and Wendell brought an RV, and a couple other people brought RVs, and there was a charge for folks who brought RVs. There was a small charge for electricity and for water, you know, because there's hookups. 400, you know, this place has 400 hookups. They're near the Speedway. And so they bring in campers at the speed, you know, over the races. But it is a natural place to have Sukkot. You know, I could just see it packed with tents on the hills and RVs and a huge tent filled up. But we need to pray if we're going to do this. And, you know, nobody need to be turned away. I think people didn't come because I didn't make it clear that you could come to the services. I didn't make it clear enough. I did say it, but I didn't make it clear enough. Come to the service. There's no charge. The meals, if you drop $5 to help them cover the cost of the meal, that's one thing. But if you just came to the service, there's no services were free. And if you, you know, I wish you could all been there. Anyway, so let's go on. So we got calendars. Oh, by the way, Deborah Klein, Ian Torno was there. And she, her worship, how many would you say, just clap your hands and shout if she was heavenly. And she did these two songs from this, several songs from this. This is her new album. And this one song, Abraham's song, if you don't have this CD, I have about two copies of it out there. This is one of them. You can get this. She has, this is an incredible CD. It's brand new. Came out 8 months ago. And we only have two copies of it. It's just glorious. And there's at least two songs I remember. I remember Abraham's song. Does anybody remember what did she do? Our Great God. She did several. She did O Come Emmanuel, in Hebrew, and which was really wild. But it was wonderful. The worship was just spectacular the whole weekend. So this we have this CD available. Another thing we have new. We just have 40 of them calendars. Brand new calendars for this year. The new year started, the biblical new year started about almost a month ago. It was the first month of the biblical calendar. And this is a beautiful calendar that we have with pictures from Israel. As you can see, it has beautiful pictures with scriptures. And it's a parallel. Everybody say parallel. So it has the months of, you know, August, September, October, November, December, January. Now, January is the first month on the Gregorian, the Greek calendar, which we use here in America. But the first month on the biblical calendar comes around April or late or March, and it's called Nisan, or as we say in Tennessee, Nisan, kind of like that truck's a Nisan. That truck's a Nisan. Anyway, there's beautiful pictures from Israel. These are $15. You can get them. We have a stack outside. It gives you when, tells you when the feasts are. It tells you you can anytime you read in the Bible, like in Luke 1, when it says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel came to visit Mary, came to visit her and told her that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, would come upon her. And she would conceive a child. In the sixth month, the angel came to her. This lets you know that the sixth month is Elul. Everybody say Elul. And Elul is before it comes around August. So the sixth month in the Bible falls around roughly August, early September. And so we can tell. We don't know when Yeshua, Jesus, was conceived. We don't know when he was conceived. It doesn't say for sure. But we know the angel visited her, and some would disagree with me in my interpretation of that. But to me, when I read Luke 1, it's clear that the angel visited her in the sixth month. It says it. I don't think it was the sixth month of her pregnancy or somebody else's. I think it was saying the angel visited her in the sixth month. Elul. So that's the way I interpret it, and many people do. Anyway, so if you count 9 months from Elul, well, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. That's 9 months, and that comes to May. So I have a theory, since I'm a Cinco de Mayo baby, that me and Yeshua share the same birthday, and that we're both Cinco de Mayo Jews. You know, he's Jose, and I'm Jose B. Okay. That went over like a lead balloon. Anyway, do you know that God's nickname is Joe? Did you know that? Joseph. You know that Joe and Joseph, or Yo or Yosef in Hebrew, the God part of the name Joseph means God shall increase, Yosef, God shall increase. the Yo and Yosef is Joe, and it's the God part of the name. God shall increase. Yo. So in Yo or Joe, in Spanish it would be Yo, because there's no J. In Hebrew, it would be Yo. But in English we say Joe. So Joe is God's nickname. How do you like that? God's just a regular Joe. Pick up a calendar. God has a sense of humor. If you would, and there's a CD. I noticed this was out there on the table, and this is really cool. You can't buy it anymore. It's Joel Chernoff when he started Lamb with Ted Pierce, and it's a rare CD to come by. And I noticed we have three or four of them, so I wanted to mention it. If you like the music of Lamb, you like Joel Chernoff. This was a great CD that he did that just didn't get publicized very well. And they don't even make it anymore. And we have just a few copies out there, so I'm letting you know about that. And lastly, if you are interested in my teachings, I have a few sets of teachings on the fall feasts from 2017 and 2016 CDs. And you can get the CD sets. They're priced out there on the table. So would somebody take these back from me and bring them back out, please, and put them? Thank you. Thanks, Anthony. And didn't Anthony do a good job? Let's give praise to him for Anthony. There's another thing out there. It's called the Shalosh Regalim. Could you all say that? The Shalosh Regalim. Anthony, what's a regalim? That goes on the table right out here. Okay. Anthony, what's a regalim? Your ankle. Your ankle is your regalim or your ankles. Okay. And the Shalosh Regalim, now interestingly, when Ezekiel the prophet, I think it's around chapter 47 or 40, I think it's 47 or 46, he talks about the prophet stepping into the water. First he goes in with his feet, then he goes in, you know, to his ankles and his knees, then he goes into his loins. And then he goes in, then it gets so deep, then he goes like up to his chest, and then it's so deep he can't walk. You know, he can only swim. And there's this river coming out of Jerusalem. It's water flowing out of the mountain of the Lord, okay? And the water starts to grow deeper and deeper. And what Rabbi Kokeb taught us one time was that your feet represent your foundation. Your feet represent your foundation. You know, without your feet, you can't stand. Right, Aja? Without your feet, you can't stand. Amen? Your ankles, they're part of that support. They're supports for your feet and your legs. They're attachments. They're critical, okay? Your knees are where you worship. You bow the knee. You bend the knee. To bless, the word bless, Baruch, means to bend the knee. To God, to bow, to bend the knee, means to bless. So when we bless, technically it also means to bend the knee. So the word in Hebrew to bend the knee is the same as the word Baruch, means to bless, or bracha, as to bend the knee in Hebrew. So so when the prophet was in the water up to his knees, meant he had reached the point of being able to bless. What I'm talking about is all of us, where we go from our foundation, where we begin our walk with Yeshua and our feet, and then we go up to our ankles where we strengthen our foundation. Then we get to our knees where we start to bless. We're not babies anymore. We become givers, and we sow into others' lives. We become not just takers, but we become givers to the body of Messiah. We teach others, we share the gospel, we pray for others. That's when we reach our knees, hit the water. When our loins hit the water, that represents our fruitfulness. When our loins hit the water, that means we're fruitful. This is in Ezekiel, when the prophet in chapter, I think, 47, when he goes into the water, prophetically, the river starts to rise, and he's in the water. When he hits our loins, we begin to you know, we become fruitful. Our loins represent fruitfulness. Then when the water gets over his head, represents complete surrender. It represents death. When you're immersed in your mikvah, in your tevilah, in your baptism, tevilah is baptism, and mikvah is the pool, you know, where John, you know, where they have an outside the temple, they have mikvahs, and so anyway, when you go into the water, that represents a dying, that represents death. When you go under the water, it represents death. Okay, so when the water rose over the prophet's head, it was as though he had come to the end of himself, and that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to come to the end of ourself, to where we are helpless. We recognize that we are utterly and completely dependent on him, and that we have, you know, these tabernacles are frail. These tabernacles will fail. These tabernacles are wasting away, aren't they? You know, God wants us to realize that all through life, no matter how strong, sturdy young men like Xavier and Billy, one day will be older men like me and Wendell and Bill, you know, and one day me and Wendell and Bill will be older men like Anthony. he's a good looking guy for an older man. Let's give it up again for Anthony. Praise the Lord. I'm just having fun with you. I love Anthony. All right. So anyway, if you want to learn about the Shalosh Regalim, these are the three pilgrim feasts. The Regalim, the ankles, these are the foundations. The foundations of the feasts. So I wrote about the three. Shalosh means three. You can pick up a copy. If somebody wants these copies, you can. Xavier, no, Anthony, you sit. Xavier, would you hand these out? If anybody wants a copy of the Shalosh Regalim, just raise your hand. They're free. And these ladies are raising their hand. And I have another newsletter here. Whoop! Oh, there goes the microphone. Okie dokie. Okay. All right. So anyway, moving right along. So I'm going to be leaving right after service as quickly as possible because I have an appointment. I have to pick my wife up at the airport. So I won't be around to talk. But I just want to tell people, some folks call me, you know, just call me up, and that's okay. I don't mind that, but I can't always answer because I'm a father of two. I'm a single father of two. My wife is away. She's been away all week, and she's a working wife. And I'm married, but it's like I'm a single dad. So I have two kids that play on two football teams. Both play junior varsity and varsity. That's four teams. Two kids, and I have to feed them, and I have to take care of them, and I am struggling. I'll be honest with you. I am struggling. God bless women who can take care of kids. Yeah, and if you take care of one, that's great. If you try taking care of two, no problem. No problem, Carolyn says. No problem. Anyway, and God bless the ladies who take care of their mothers and fathers, and let's pray for them. Father, we just pray for all the single moms and dads out there who are taking care of children by themselves, raising them, working, and taking care of their kids. We just pray you strengthen them and bless them and bless the children, Lord. Let them not be neglected. Let them not be just left to play with video games. But, Lord, raise up mentors and friends, people to speak into their lives. Raise up nannies and babysitters and people to help, you know, with rides and cooking and all those things and whatever it takes to help these parents who are going through it. And I pray for all the caregivers, Lord. I know we still have some. I pray especially for Karen Gaby and my sister Molly. Karen Gaby's taking care of her parents. I lift up Karen Gaby to you right now in our congregation. She hasn't been able to come. She's working full-time taking care of her parents. We just pray you lift her arms and strengthen our beloved Karen Gaby, and bring her back to us, Lord. Bring Karen to come and visit and be with us, Lord, and give her strength to help her through this time of dealing with her parents, end of life. And bless my mom, Lord, who's in hospice, and bless me and my kids as we go to visit mom. Bless our visit with my mother this coming soon. Lord, bless that visit with mom, I pray. And bless my sister Molly, who takes care of her. Thank God she has a lot of nursing help. But just strengthen Molly. Help her as she cares for mom. And in Yeshua's name, and anyone who needs care and can't afford it, we just pray that you would make a way for them to find the care they need. There's somebody for everybody. Amen. Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to take up our offerings, our tithes and our offerings today. If you're visiting with us, I always encourage folks, give your offering to your home congregation, your tithe to your home congregation. Bring your tithes to your home congregation. But if you'd like to give a love offering, if this isn't your home, and you'd like to support the work, there's envelopes in the pews you can give. You just make out a check if you want to, or cash, whatever, any way you like. We have credit cards. You can write it on the envelope, and it'll be processed. And wake up, Wendell. And I'm just teasing you, buddy. praise the Lord. Or let's pray. Wendell, why don't you come up and pray for the offering? Would you do that for me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's our custom to bring the offering. We also have a basket next to the box for spare change for the poor in Israel. So if you have some spare change, you know, maybe you have maybe you went out for a little coffee this morning and you have a few bucks in your pocket or some change. There's a spare change for the poor in Israel, and we it really adds up. What were you going to say, Carol? Hold it. Yeah. That's good. Wendell's going to pray for the offering.
Father Yeshua, we thank you, Lord, this morning for blessing those that are able to give, Father. Lord, help us all to be obedient in our tithe giving, Lord, that it would rebuke the devourer, Lord. Lord, and I just ask for the Joseph Project, God, that you would meet the needs there for the congregation, Father. Lord, and I just ask for the building fund to increase, Lord, to help things that need to be fixed, Father. Lord, and we just thank you, Lord. One, as they come and give, lives easier, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs, even faints for you, for here my heart is satisfied. Within your presence, I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere, thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in thing I ask, and I would seek to see your beauty, to find you in a place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you.
Better is one
day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere.
Thousands
elsewhere.
Bring. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31. Says,
we're gonna worship now. We're gonna begin our time of worship, praise and worship. So let's get ready, dancers. Get your dancing shoes on.
And says, he who scattered Israel will bring him back again.
Shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. They shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. He has scattered Israel, will gather him again, and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. He has scattered Israel, will gather him again, as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. They shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. Shepherd keeps his flock, for the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. They shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. As a shepherd keeps his flock, he who scattered Israel will gather him again, and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong. They shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion.
La 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 la.
Hear the word of the Lord. Nations of the world. Israel will gather him again, keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. Scattered Israel will gather him again, keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock.
For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, redeemed him from the strong.
And they shall come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion.
The Lord will never forsake you. Hallelujah. So the Lord will never forsake you. Say it one more time. The Lord will never forsake you. He'll never forsake me either.
Our God will not abandon us,
no, he will never his people forsake.
Lord, our God will not abandon us, no, he will never his covenant break. Lord will save us, our King will answer. Lord will save us, our King will answer. Lord, our King will answer the day that we call him. Save us, our King will answer. Lord, Lord will save us, our King will answer. Lord, our King will answer the day that we call Him. Yeladim bachushal, yahezkut tofeset ben haba, yitov ben hasadol. O tirei, o tirei, kama tov yiye, bashana, bashana, haba. O tirei, o tirei, kama tov yiye, bashana, bashana, haba. And the vines, they will grow, the tender leaves will blossom, and the fruit of our hands will be sweet. And the winds that bring change, clear away the ashes, and as brothers will go forth to meet. Wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Men have died to make a bright tomorrow, and their vision remains in our hearts. Now the torch must be passed, hope and not in sorrow, and the promise to make a new start. Wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Wait and see, what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Bashana haba'a, neshev hamer peset, and it's for siforim nodedot. Yeladim bachushav, yafes kutom peset, and haba.
Hallelujah. That was a song, an Israeli folk song, a very famous folk song. And when Noam was here with Deborah, he was very touched, very moved, because that it's kind of like Amazing Grace is to Americans. It's an Israeli folk song, very special. So I remember seeing him, looking at his face, and he was very moved, and he said something about it later. And by the way, his wife Deborah had a heart attack last Saturday, and so we want to pray for her, and we'll pray for her after worship. But anyhow, want to keep them in your prayers. She's had, this is her second heart, I don't know if it, heart attack, but I know she's had open heart surgery and before, and she's had trouble with her heart before. So want to lift her up and lift Noam up there. Anyway, so we'll pray for them out shortly. Okay, let's continue.
Praise you, Lord, you're the rock of my salvation. You I praise from shore to shore in all your creation. Let it ring from mountain tops, and let my voice proclaim the tender mercies of my Lord. you I praise from shore to shore. In all your creation, let it ring from mountain tops. Let my voice proclaim tender mercies of my Lord. Shua is his name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. La 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 la.
Eternity.
Shulchan Adonai. If you're watching online, you're welcome to join us. And I forgot to mention to the folks at home, if you would like to, and I forgot to include you in the offering. So if you're at home and you're watching and you watch us, well, I know a lot of folks watch us every week. And if you consider this your congregational home, wherever you are in the United States or around the world, if you'd like to contribute, there's a donate button on our website, and you're welcome to contribute securely through PayPal. We just get your name and what you give. If you want us to receipt you, you just have to send us, email us, and tell us your name and what you gave, and a way we can send you a receipt, an email, or a address and a phone number. Please give a phone number so in case we can't read your email or address, we can call you. But you can give in the offering. I forgot to include folks online. So, but we're going to go to the Lord's table. And if you have, if you're at home and you have some grape juice or manischewitz, if you have some crackers or matzah, whatever you bread, whatever you have, you can partake of. We're going to go to the Lord's table at this time. So I'm going to put my bass down. You know, I was hoping, I bought this bass thinking maybe the Beatles would pick me up. You know, and be the start the band again, but they didn't. They didn't pick me up, so I was stuck with the bass. No, actually, the reason I have this bass is because when I had cancer 6-7 years ago, this thing is lightweight. My bass weighs, my normal bass weighs about 2-3 times this much as this. I have a Fender Jazz bass. I couldn't carry it when I had real bad cancer, so I couldn't pick up the bass. But this thing is like a feather. And it doesn't play, doesn't sound as good as my other one, but it's easier on the back. So that's why I play this bass, and has nothing to do with the Beatles. Anyway, let's go to the Lord's table. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I'm going to ask Maria, would you like to serve today since you're going away? We'll honor you. And Miss Brenda, would you like to serve with Maria? Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, which Jews everywhere for thousands of years call the cup of redemption. It's always taken after the meal at Passover. At every Passover Seder, even in Luke 22 in the New Testament and in other places, it's mentioned as the cup taken after the meal. And it was this cup that Yeshua took, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." On that same Passover night, Yeshua took, there's three pieces of bread on every Passover table. Where they have matzah. Some countries they use rice, some Sephardic countries, but most places they have matzah, which is the unleavened bread, cracker. And there's three pieces that are untouched on every table, and they're, we call them, in English we call it the unity. And the middle layer, the middle piece of the matzah, and this is what the matzah looks like, the middle layer is called the afikomen, or the afikomen. In Greek, the afikomen. And it means that which comes later. It's a Greek word, that which comes later. And so we don't eat it during the Passover or until after. We eat it after the, it says that which comes later. Again, after the meal. We always eat the bread taken with the cup after the meal. That's exactly what Yeshua did. And he spoke of the bread and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did that on a Passover, and he forever changed the meaning of Passover. You see, growing up for me, Passover was always about Moses, ladies. It was always about, you know, what God did for Moses and the children of Israel thousands of years ago. But as I sat there for 4 hours at a Passover, I always thought, well, that's great. God delivered our people thousands of years ago from Pharaoh, and he brought them through the Red Sea. Well, what does it have to do with me? But then when Yeshua came and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, and this bread is my body given for you," then all of a sudden redemption became personal, because if I believed in Yeshua, then I was delivered from slavery and bondage, not from Pharaoh, but to sin. See, Passover became personal. It became relevant to my life, not just about what God did for my ancestors thousands of years ago, but now crossing through the Red Sea meant God was making a was parting the sea and was bringing me through death into life. Hallelujah. Because see, water, remember the baptism? Water is, represents death, being underwater. God parted the waters, brought us through to, from death to life. Hallelujah. From Egypt to the promised land. Picture of going from hell to, from a life of hell to heaven, to paradise. Amen? To a land flowing with milk and honey. So let's prepare our hearts. And if there's anybody watching today who doesn't know Yeshua, if there's anybody here, let's bow our heads for a minute. If you haven't met the Messiah, and you're watching and you're here today and you haven't met the Messiah, you know, the Bible says that Yeshua is the Son of God. He came to die for your sins and mine. He was buried 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead on the third day. And if you'd like to meet the Messiah, all you have to do, the Bible says, is if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God, that you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, so if you would like to do that with me, just say, Yeshua, I believe that you are Lord. Wash me of my sin. I've made mistakes. I have broken your laws. I haven't kept all your commandments. To be honest, I don't even know what they are. I only know some. Honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't lie. You know, stuff like that. But most people couldn't name 20 commandments. Hallelujah. Maybe, you know, some could name 30. But anyhow, so if that's speaking to you, just say this. Dear God, come into my heart. Again, forgive me. Write my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua's name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, and it's not the words you said, it's what's in your heart. So if you prayed that prayer and you got, if you met the Messiah today, contact me and I have a free gift for you. So, hallelujah. Everyone else, please come as you are ready. Amen. And the ladies will serve you. Thank you, ladies. By the way, if somebody could stop at Kroger, do we have any gluten-free matzah? I think she needs a paper towel. Can somebody help her get a paper towel quickly, please? Hallelujah. She spilt the blood. The love of God.
For you, who are needy.
Okay, we'll sing. I'm going to sing a little song with you. I usually just say L'chaim, but I'm going to sing a song. We're going to sing together. L'chaim be'Yeshua, hallelujah. L'chaim be'Yeshua, hallelujah. Hu'ahavoti, hu'ohevoti, hallelujah. Hu'ahavoti, hu'ahevoti, hallelujah. Amen. L'chaim. Hallelujah. Thank you, ladies. Okay, we're going to go to the message. And getting my beverages, because I'm a thirsty rabbi. Hallelujah. This isn't Coke. Coffee, and I don't drink Ishmael. I drink ginger ale. It was a joke. I don't drink Ishmael. I drink ginger ale. Get it? You believe that they're putting that stuff on Coke bottles? Praise the Lord. You know, Ishmael was a brother. Whose brother was he? Was he Jacob's? Ishmael and Isaac. He was Isaac's brother. They weren't very close. Okay. Still not. I don't have anything, honey. My Facebook was hacked. I haven't gotten it back up yet. It was hacked last week. You know what? I haven't missed it. So, if you want to watch us, you got to watch us on our website. But for now, until I get my Facebook page back up, and yeah, I was hacked last week. One of 50 million people that hacked my page, and I haven't bothered trying to restore it and get a new password. And you know, I don't check my emails maybe once a month, and I like that. I don't even check my voicemails. Well, occasionally, but. Remember the simpler time when we just had those phones where you just had, you know, my phone number was Bigelow 47976. What was your phone number? Who can remember? What was that, honey? Tucson? Luzon 2426? Luzon 24. Who else can remember their old phone? Four party line. Wow. Anybody else remember their old phone number back in the day? Oh, you're Jenny. Jenny, we had Jenny over there. 8675309. Anybody else remember Carol, what was yours? 7895212. Amen. Amen. Do you have a dial phone or a push button? Yeah, rotary. Yeah, amen. We had rotary phones. Then we got fancy and we got a push button. Ooh. And it was mustard yellow. You had a choice of mustard yellow or kind of like, well, back in the day, no, I'm talking about we had mustard yellow and they had some kind of green. I don't even, avocado green, yeah. It was avocado green or mustard yellow phones. You remember those? Did you have mustard yellow or avocado green? Raise your hand. All right. Praise the Lord. Are you leaving? Okay, well, let's just pray for Maria. She's going to Haiti on Monday. And why don't you come up and gather, folks, gather around her. And Maria's going to Haiti. So I want to just anoint her and pray protection over her. Hallelujah. And pray for Wendell, because he'll be without Maria, and they'll have no one to fix him a sandwich. So he's good at eggs. All right. Father, we just pray for Maria, and we just anoint her, Lord, as we send her out, Lord, with blessing. We send her out with anointing, Lord. We just plead the blood over her, blood of Yeshua. We pray your protection over her, Lord. Let no unclean thing touch her. Let no unclean thing touch her, Lord. Let wherever she steps be holy ground, Lord. Let wherever she steps be holy ground. Let no sickness, no disease, no spiritual attacks come upon her. Thank you, Lord. We just pray that you make her a blessing, that you would give her the victory, Lord. Go before her as she prepare her. Go before her as she goes to Haiti. And we pray, Lord, that you gird her up with your angels, Lord, that your angels would give your angels charge over her as she travels to and fro. Let her trip be uneventful, in that there's no harm, no trouble, no sickness, no fever, no disease. And we pray, Lord, that you just use her and make her a blessing to these kids, to the Messianic congregation over in Haiti, and just spread the love that Maria has. She glows for Yeshua. Spread the love of Yeshua through Maria, Lord. Use her to reach kids and people, adults too, and to witness. Give her a spirit of boldness. Tell her when to speak and when not to, Lord. Let the words of her mouth be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And we just pray protection over her, Lord. Mighty angels. We pray for big angels, Lord. We ask that you'd put really big angels around Maria, Lord, and her team, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for a safe trip. And that we pray you watch over Wendell. We pray that you protect Wendell and feed Wendell and keep him from harm. Lord, we pray that no unclean thing would come upon Wendell and no attack of the enemy. And if any attacks that may come, that you would show them, expose them for what they are, and you always promise a way out. In Yeshua's name, you always promise a way out. So we give you the praise and the glory. Give Maria shalom as she goes, and give Wendell shalom as she goes to Haiti. And we thank you for a good report. We believe for a good report, and we'll ask that people will continue to pray. She leaves Monday for the week, one week, that you keep her in your prayers. In Yeshua's name, amen. We love you. And we'll miss you. Oh, praise the Lord. Bring me a voodoo doll, will you? All right. Just kidding. No, don't bring me one. Actually, take one and throw it in the ocean or something for me. Take 10 of them. Toss them in the river, you know. Just kidding. Crazy, crazy rabbi. Bye, guys. Love you. Okay, I know how you feel about my preaching now. That doesn't hurt my feelings. Okay, well, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you a choice today. I said I was going to preach on as it was in the days of Noah. Or I can give you a choice about God's pattern of revival in the Bible. God's pattern of revival. So who wants, as it was in the days of Noah, raise your hand. One, two. Who wants God's pattern of revival? One, two, three, four, five. Okay. We'll do God's pattern of revival. Amen? Okay. We'll do Noah. Maybe we'll do Noah when I get back. Okay? So I think you'll enjoy this. First of all, so when I moved to the South, 20 years ago, I discovered something new to me. It's called church revival. I come from the North, so they don't have church revivals in the North, okay? And but they have revival meetings, I noticed. Hundreds of churches would hold revivals, sometimes with national evangelists. Yet I also noticed that the impact on the region was not widespread. Okay? The revival would take place, then another and another, but life didn't really seem to change for the city. Crime continued, homelessness still existed, drug abuse was rampant. In studying the scriptures over two decades, I've noticed a pattern of biblical revival that I believe still applies today if leaders and believers would see it and take hold of this pattern. I have personally led over 100 people to the Lord in tent meetings on more than one occasion, and though those were awesome meetings, and they were wonderful meetings, they did not spark widespread revival. We've had meetings here that led 400 or so people to the Lord recently, and now Billy Graham's grandson preached in Johnson City. Hundreds of people were saved, but it did not change the culture. It did not change the atmosphere spiritually of the region, did it? It didn't do it. These were awesome meetings, and they did not spark widespread revival. God has a pattern for revival, and my prayer is that you grasp it. More importantly, as you consider these things, may you and I do what He requires for real revival to happen on a biblical scale. Amen? That real revival would come. And hopefully, as I speak of the pattern, you'll understand it. Okay, so let's go on. So when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God gave him more than just the Torah when he was on Mount Sinai. And Torah, the word Torah, means a few things. It means that scroll. And why do we bring that scroll out? That scroll is about 180 years old, and it survived the Holocaust in Budapest, Hungary. That is the five books of Moses in there in Hebrew. It survived the Holocaust. It was ushered out of Budapest, Hungary. It's very fragile. It was old during the Holocaust. It was 100 years old practically. And so it's very fragile, so we don't open it anymore very much because it can be very, very fragile. We can't afford a new one. A new one is about $30,000 to $50,000 for a new Torah. So we bring it out. We don't worship the Torah. We worship the God of the Torah. But Torah means not just the scroll. Torah means instruction. Torah, also Christians call Torah the law. It's the Christian typical term for the Torah is the law. The law, okay? And it's not necessarily the best interpretation, nor is it really. There's more laws in the New Testament than there are in the Old Testament. There are 613 positive and negative commandments in the Old Testament, and there are over 1,000 positive and negative commandments in the New Testament. So actually, there's more laws in the New Testament that Yeshua and Paul gave us than there are from Mount Sinai. Okay, it's just a fact, interesting piece of trivia. But so he gave on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses more than just the Torah. He gave Moses the pattern of exactly how to build the tabernacle. Exodus 24:40 says, "See that you make them after the pattern for them, the implements of the tabernacle, which was shown you on the mountain. See that you make all the implements of the tabernacle exactly as was shown you." Exactly. Everybody say exactly. "As was shown you on the mountain." God told Moses in Exodus 40:33-35, "Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting, nor was Joshua, because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So the first step in bringing the glory Now, you notice it didn't affect the people, because there's more to the pattern than just building the tabernacle according to the God, okay? There's more to the picture. So it didn't cause revival among the people. It might have, you know, scared them or whatever, but the people obviously didn't change because they rebelled in the wilderness. They continued to rebel. So we're just seeing one step of the pattern here, and that was building God's house exactly to God's specifications. Amen. How many of you built a house or had one built for you? Raise your hand if you've had a house built. Okay, a couple people here. Okay. So, you know, I've had a couple renovations done, and I've had contractors, and I give them specifications, and some do what I ask, and some don't do what I ask. Amen. Can you relate to that? Okay. God said to Moses, do it my way. And, Moses must have been a fan of Frank Sinatra, because he did it God's way. He said, God said, do it my way. That's the way he did it. Okay, let's go on. So, and it says, So God said to Moses, thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered, which we read, Moses was not able to enter because the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the first step in bringing the glory and revival is following God's pattern. Without his glory, without his presence, there can be no revival. We must follow the pattern. Old Testament, you say, Rabbi? Hebrews 8:5 says, see that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. It's repeated in Hebrews 8:5. See that you make things. So we see that following God's pattern of building his house, and we are his temple today. Peter says we are living stones, and I'm going to look up that verse. We are living stones. Where is that? 1 Peter 2:5. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 2:5. So you all, Peter says in verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men. Remember the scripture we read, in those of us who read the Hallel on Sukkot, we read the cornerstone which the builders rejected. Remember we read the Hallel for those who were there. We read Psalm 118, but you don't have to be at Sukkot to read it. Psalm 118, it says the cornerstone which the builders rejected. He was the cornerstone which the builders rejected. Now, you wouldn't understand that verse until Yeshua in the New Testament explained it, that he was the cornerstone. He was the cornerstone. If you read it in the days of David, who would understand that it would be talking about the Messiah, you know, back in those days? But now we understand that the cornerstone is Yeshua. And here we see is in verse 4 of 2 Peter, or 1 Peter 2, and coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Yeshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, for this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected became the very cornerstone. That's the verse. The stone which the builders rejected in Psalm 118 became the very cornerstone. That's Psalm 118:22, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It says, okay. So, isn't that interesting? So, in the spirit realm, building the temple, in the physical realm, building the temple exactly according to the pattern, the tabernacle was a shadow of us as being living stones being built. But turn to Ephesians 2 for a moment. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. So think of yourself. Say, I'm a stone. You're a stone. You're a brick. You're a a flagstone, whatever you want to be. You can be any kind of stone you want, okay? Hallelujah. You can be, I guess if you really want to be an Israelitish, you want to be a piece of limestone. Okay. All right. In verse 11 of Ephesians 2, it says, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." Now, I'm going to talk about this making us into one and breaking down the wall. I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes, okay? Remember that verse. "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the Torah of commandments." So he didn't abolish the law of commandments. What he abolished, what did he abolish? He didn't abolish the law. Matthew 5:19 says the law, the Torah has not been abolished. Not one letter, not the yud, the smallest letter has not been abolished until heaven and earth pass away, right, Janice? Not one yud of the Torah passes away until heaven and earth pass away, right? So if God didn't abolish the Torah, what is it saying here? I'm telling you what it's saying. It's saying he abolished the curse of the law. So in other words, there's no penalty of death. The penalty for not keeping the Sabbath in the Old Testament was death. If you broke the Sabbath, if you carried a load and got caught by the priest or whoever, they could stone you. Whoever was the authorities could stone you to death. If you got caught in adultery in those days, the penalty was death. If you, there were many things that you did that if you didn't keep, certain God's feasts in Leviticus 20:23, the penalty was death for not keeping certain feasts of the feasts. Amen? So we're no longer under the curse. So that's why people out there are mowing the lawns on Saturday. That's why people out there are going to the mall and going to, chicken restaurants and having a good old time out there aren't dying, because we're not under the curse of the law in Messiah. Everybody say, we're not under the curse of the law in Messiah. That's what ended, but the blessings didn't. That's what one of the blessings of being messianic. The blessings of the Torah did not end. And there's a lot of blessings in the Torah. Amen. There's a lot of blessings in the left side of the Bible that didn't end, but the curse did. It ended. So let's go on here. So it says where was I there? 11. Verse 15. Okay, we'll start in 15. "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law." 16. "And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, to Jews. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers," say, "I'm no longer a stranger or an alien, but I'm a fellow citizen." What does that mean, you're a fellow citizen? He's talking to Jews here. He's talking about Jews. You're fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. He's talking in the very beginning. This is Paul going out. He just got saved, and he's going out to the Europeans, and he's preaching to them, the Ephesians, and Ephesus, which I think is part of Turkey, and he's preaching to these people, and he's saying to them, this is new to them. Everybody say, this is new. He's preaching this new thing to them, and he's saying, if you believe this gospel, you are no longer aliens, foreigners, strangers, who are without God. Remember, we read that in verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in verse 19, he's saying, so then you are no longer strangers because you believe in Messiah, or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with who? Who are you fellow citizens with? Jewish believers, right? Your fellow citizens, you were excluded. Go back to verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed by the flesh. He's talking about Jews. Remember that you were at that time, you non-Jews, were separate from the Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants God made with Israel and the promises, having no hope and without God. But the Jews did have God, if they believed, if they accepted it. So he's saying now in verse 19, but now you foreigners, Gentiles, strangers, aliens, Turks, Ephesians, Philippians, Corinthians, whatever, Macedonians, you are now fellow citizens with the Jewish believers. Can I get an amen? Amen. And with the saints and are of God's household, listen here, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, being the cornerstone, amen, himself, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So what did Moses build? A physical temple with real stones. What did Solomon build? A physical temple with real stones. And glory fell. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to show you. But we're going to go to Solomon's temple. I'm going to show you the glory fall when he does it. But before we get to that, I'm just showing you that we are being built into a temple as well. And we've got to follow God's instruction, his pattern, exactly, right? If we don't, do you know that if you shoot a rocket to the moon and you're 2 degrees off, I'm told you'll be over 150,000 miles from the moon when it gets there? If you aim a rocket and shoot it from the earth to the moon and you're 2 degrees off, that you'll be, somebody told me this weekend, you'll be more than 150,000 miles away by the time that rocket gets to the moon. So if you're building a house and you want to build a foundation, you want your plumb line, you want your level, you want your foundation to be level, you want everything to be straight and your lines and everything to be even, your roof, amen? You don't want anything to be off kilter. You don't want it to be tipped over like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. They didn't do such a great job with that one, you know. Or at least they picked a bad spot, one or the other. Thank you. Anthony, before you leave, if you would make me a photocopy of the report for today, just you can do it now or later, whenever, whatever you want. Anyway, because there was a lot of cash, and I want to, you know, I want to be able to, for accountability's sake, for the bookkeeper. Anyway, she likes everybody to be accountable, and so do we. Okay, going back to the message. All right. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. Listen, verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, oh my goodness, we are living stones, Jew and non-Jew, being fitted together into a holy temple of the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Going back to the Council of Nicaea in 325, when the Jews were expelled from the church and we were kicked out of the church until probably, well, Jews could later, like Felix Mendelssohn, the famous composer, Felix Mendelssohn was a Jewish believer. Benjamin Disraeli, Prime Minister of England during the time of Queen Victoria, was a Jewish believer in Yeshua, in Jesus. Some say Christopher Columbus. Many say he was a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ. But if you were a Jewish believer in the time of Columbus or the time of Felix Mendelssohn in the 1700s or when he lived, or if you were a Jewish believer in the time of Benjamin Disraeli in the 1800s, what did you have to do? Where did to worship? What did you have? Where did you go? The synagogue? Say it loud. Church! You had to join the church. If you were Benjamin Disraeli, you joined the Church of England. If you were Felix Mendelssohn, you probably joined the Lutheran Church. Okay? If you were, what's his name? Christopher Columbus, you joined the Catholic Church. Right? Those were your choices. You joined the church. There was no Messianic Jewish community in the time of Columbus in 1492. There was no Messianic Jewish community in the 1700s in the time of Felix Mendelssohn. There was no Messianic community during the Victorian period in Queen Victoria to join. So you had to join a church. All right, let's go on. So have we been Jew and Gentile? Have we been built together as Messianic Jew? You know, Messianic, this is the first time in history when Messianic Jews, now hold your place here for a second. Now go to John 10. Go to John 10, verse 14. Tell me, raise your hand when you're there. John 10, 14. Okay. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Who is he talking to? Let me give you a little background here. This is Hanukkah time. This is winter time. Yeshua is in Jerusalem, and he's talking to a group of his disciples, maybe 100, maybe 12. Who knows? We don't really know how many. Maybe 200 of his disciples. You know, he had the 12, then there were other followers. Okay? He says, I am the good shepherd, verse 14. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. So he's telling Jews, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Say, that's me. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I might take it up again. By the way, for those who say, ask who killed Christ, verse 18 says, no one has taken it away, his life, from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. I used to get my face knocked in by Catholic kids growing up, called me a Christ killer, and sometimes I'd knock their teeth in. But either way, whether they knocked my teeth in or I knocked their teeth in, they called me a Christ killer. And this, I finally read this when I was 30 years old and saw that I didn't kill Christ. We all did. And not only that, nobody killed him. He laid his own life down. You think we could really kill the Son of God if he didn't let us? Not me. I mean, Hulk Hogan was pretty big when he took Rocky and picked Rocky up and spun him around, and I thought that was the end of Rocky. You know, what was that, Rocky IV? Rocky, something like that. It was Rocky IV, I think it was. When Hulk Hogan picked him up and spun Rocky around like a toy, and then he threw him down and just beat him to a pulp. Well, you know, you think that the Son of God would give up his life if he didn't want to? Or that you or I, even Wendell, mighty Wendell, could take it from him? Wendell's the strongest man I know. You know, he had a 1,300-pound a concrete mixer. He's a stonemason. And a concrete truck, mixer truck. The chute was filled with wet cement. And it, concrete, came loose, and it swung. And it hit him in the leg. He was in a foundation. It hit him in the thigh and dragged him across the foundation, landed on his chest. 1,200 to 1,300 pounds. He took his hands and he threw that thing off of his chest. That, I mean, that, I don't know. I've never met a person who could do that. That's a bench press that I've never seen before, 12 to 1,300 pounds. He threw that thing off of his chest. He hurt his back. He couldn't bend. He was in agony. He came here on a Shabbat. We prayed for him. He did it, and then he touched his toes. God healed him. You ask him, he'll tell you. God healed him. Amen. All right, let's read on. Okay, so there's two flocks in John 10:14. I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them too. And together, everybody say together. Together you shall be one flock with one shepherd. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Together, I must bring those, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd with us, with the Jews. Because he's talking to Jews. Okay, go to John 17. Let's look in John 17:17. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but those who also believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So he's saying that they may all be one. Is he saying one person, that we're all going to be one person, or that we're going to be? Well, I'm going to answer that question in a minute. Let's read on. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. Everybody say unity. So that the world may know that you sent me and love them. What's he saying? He's saying that the world will believe when the Jews and the non-Jews come together as one, perfected in unity. Perfected in unity. One, when he's talking here, one flock, he's not saying when the Jews join the church, or when he's saying when Jews and Christians come together in unity. The word one, we sang it today. Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachat. Behold how good, it's a Psalm 133. Yachad, it's the same as, comes from echad. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Unity. So when the word one, and he's saying it here in John, and he's saying it in Ephesians, and in John 10, he's talking about unity. Not one church. We're not all going to be Baptists. We're not all going to be Pentecostals. We're not all going to be Jews. We're not all going to be Messianic. We're not all going to be Church of God. We're not all going to be independent, non-denominational, you know. We're not all going to be, you know, whatever. Amen? Presbyterian. We're going to be... And those, the remnant of us who get it, are going to be one with each other. That's why God called you, to be perfected in unity, that the world might believe. Are you starting to see the pattern? We are being built into a... Let's go back to Ephesians now. So in Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is being fitted together, is growing into a temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. In those days of Paul, it was the Jewish believers and the non-Jewish believers were being built together like we are. This is the first time in history since then that we can come together as one people of God, one in unity, Jew and non-Jew in unity, and build the house according to God's pattern, the way He wants it done. How many women get ticked off when you hire someone to do your bathroom or fix something and they don't do it the way you want it? Oh my gosh, have I seen frustration. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, thank you, ladies. Okay, so do you see it? Have we been built together for 1,700 years? No. Only now, in the last 40 years since the Messianic community. Thank you, Anthony. God bless you. Only since the last 40 years, only in the last 40, 50 years have we been able to be built together. Since the first century. Okay, so let me put this into practical. I'm going to put this into practical. Let's look at Solomon's revival. Okay, I'm going to read it for you. Second Chronicles here. Let me just put this. Solomon's revival began upon completion of the temple of God that his father David desired to build. The first thing we notice is the pattern. Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple, its buildings, its storehouses, its upper rooms, its kitchen, its bathroom, no, I'm just kidding. Its inner rooms and the rooms for the mercy seat, and the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord. Amen? It's man cave. Nobody likes my humor, I'm telling you. People tell me, I've been told, if I ever ended up stranded on a desert island, I'd have myself laughing in 5 minutes. Carolyn likes my jokes. She always has. But anyway, okay. So God gave David a plan. Solomon followed the plan in building the temple. Turn to 2 Chronicles 2, please. In 2 Chronicles 2, Solomon decided to build the temple. You don't have to read it. I'll just preach to you, and then I'll tell you when we're going to read. In 2 Chronicles 2, Solomon decided to build the temple designed by God and King David. Unlike the tabernacle, we see some new things here. Apart from taking up offerings for the house of the Lord, Solomon took a census and hired 153,600 aliens, non-Jews, foreigners, Gentiles, living in the land of Israel to help build the house of the Lord, the house of God. You can see it in 2 Chronicles 17 and 18, verse chapter 2, 17 and 18. This is an important part of the pattern, including Gentiles in building the house of God. So you see, even in Solomon's day, the pattern was the same. We're building a physical house, not living stones. These are real, you know, heavy stones. But the pattern is the same. It was just Jewish people and Gentiles breaking their backs doing it. Probably mostly non-Jews, to be honest with you. I mean, 153,000 aliens, non-Jews, foreigners, Gentiles, living in the land of Israel to help build the house of God. This is an important part of the pattern, including Gentiles in building God's house. Even Moses left Egypt with a mixed multitude of Egyptians and Arabs. Exodus 12:38. In other words, Gentiles came out of Egypt with Moses. Who do you think helped build the tabernacle? You never hear of those foreigners, those Gentiles, again. Once they leave Egypt in Exodus 12:38, you never hear of them mentioned as aliens or foreigners. They assimilated into the tribes of Israel through marriage. Amen? They assimilated, or they were just became part of the tribes. For sojourners, they were sojourners, and they were grafted into the tribes of Israel. And you never hear of them as foreigners again. That's Messianic Judaism. You start hanging out with us, and you become part of us. I don't look at Anthony and say, oh, there's Anthony the Gentile, or there's Bill the Gentile. I'm sure, you know, Carol doesn't look at me and say, there's Rabbi Joe the Jew. You know, Aja, do you look at me as Rabbi the Jew, or you just look at me as Rabbi Joe? Rabbi Joe, amen. We don't see each other that way. That's when the in Christ there is no Jew or Gentile, right? when we're in unity together, there is neither Jew nor Gentile when we're in unity. Okay, let's read on. So I said Gentiles are key, even in the Solomon's temple, to building the house. Vice versa, in the times of the Gentiles, we'll see that including Messianic Jews during the times of the Gentiles as living stones today is critical to the pattern. In Solomon's case, even Huram, king of Tyre, modern Lebanon, sent timber and workers, other items, and skilled craftsmen to help Solomon. So Solomon built all according to the plan that God gave his father. But the next two ingredients of the pattern, besides resources to build an army of workers and skilled craftsmen, were perhaps the most important ingredients of all. Thus, all the work that Solomon performed, this is a scripture, thus all the work that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord was finished, 2 Chronicles 5:1. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves to the king at the feast, that is in the seventh month, the 15th day of the seventh month, to be specific. Does anybody know what feast that was? We did it last weekend. Sukkot. Okay? It was Sukkot. It was the starts on the 15th day of the seventh month, the one we did last weekend. Okay? It's an 8-day feast or 7-day feast that ends on the 8th day. And it says right there in 2 Chronicles 5, and all the men of Israel assembled themselves to the king at the feast that is in the seventh month, the 15th day of the seventh month to be specific. Solomon dedicated the temple on the 15th day of the seventh month on the biblical calendar known as Tishrei. This date falls in what we call September or early October. God has a separate calendar, the biblical calendar. Leviticus 23:39-40 says, on exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a Sabbath on the first day and a Sabbath on the eighth day. Verse 33 calls it the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, or Sukkot in Hebrew. Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches. This is from Israel. Palm branches here. We got myrtle. We got myrtle, palm branches, and we've got willows of the brook. Okay? And you shall rejoice before the Lord for 7 days. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days, okay, with these branches. Now, this is strange. Could you imagine going to a synagogue, if you didn't know this feast, could you imagine going to a synagogue and waving and seeing 500 or 1,000 men going like this? And you hear that sound with 500 or 1,000 of them at one time. It's an awesome sound. It reminds me of the wheels of the Lord's chariot when he's in Ezekiel. You know, the sound of the wings of the angels flapping. That's what it reminds me of. Could you imagine 500 men, young men, doing this, or 1,000 at one time? It would look strange, wouldn't it? And they're all carrying a piece of yellow fruit. We call it an etrog. Somebody cut mine up and squirted it for a lemon. But this is a lemon. And so you see these Jewish men in the synagogue with the palm branches waving it. It looks strange. And if you didn't know what it was, it would be strange. But hold your place there in Chronicles and go to Revelation 7. I'll be quick here. Revelation 7. Okay. Everybody, in verse 4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. From Gad, 12,000, so on and so forth. Goes on. Then go down to verse 9. It says, after these things, everybody say, after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could count from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. Oh my goodness. You're going to be doing this in eternity. Gentiles, people from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, believers from all over the world, every color, every stripe, every creed, every language, standing before the throne with palm branches. If you'd have come last weekend, you could have done it with us. Now, God, you know, there's grace. It's cool. If he didn't come. But you see, you're going to be doing this. Amen. That's why we do it now. As Pastor Bill said last week, the Sabbath predated the law. The Sabbath was during the law. And then the Sabbath is in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, there remains a day of rest for the people of God, a Sabbath. And he's talking about the day. If you read Hebrews 4, he's talking about, yes, there's Sabbath in Messiah, that he brings us Sabbath rest. But he also, and if you read the chapter, it's talking about there still remains a Sabbath day. And that Sabbath day is today. If you don't believe me and you're a New Testament Christian, just read Matthew 28:1. It tells you what day is the Sabbath. It's in the New Testament. Okay. All right, so you're going to be celebrating it. Now go back to Zechariah 14 for a second. That's in eternity. Let's look at Zechariah 14. Let's look at the millennium. Are you enjoying this? Zechariah 14:16. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem. You know that all the nations are gearing up to attack Israel. Do you know that they're gearing up now? They're slowly, the wheels are turning. Russia, all the nations of the earth are gearing up to attack Israel. The only thing stopping them is what? Besides God. What is God using to stop the nations on earth? The United States. Donald J. Trump. And the U.S. military. That's the only thing standing in the way of Russia, China, Iran, all the Arabs with rockets, Lebanon, Hamas attacking Israel, Turkey. They hate Israel. The Turks, they hate Israel. Hate them, the passion. The only thing standing in the way of Israel's enemies attacking is the United States of America, under the strong leadership of, and this is not a political message, it's just a fact, he's building the military. Donald Trump says a strong military will keep the peace. That always has been the truth. That always will be the truth. It's not so that we can go bully other nations. If our military is strong, you're less likely, you know, when we're weak. And I don't know if you follow the news, when in the last regime of this country, we were so weak that the Russians and the Chinese kept, what do they call it, when they kept buzzing our ships with their jets. The last regime, they kept buzzing our ships with their jets. A rocket man, little rocket man there in Korea, was firing his rockets like crazy. The Russian bombers were going off the coast of California. Russian two bombers more than once in Alaska. Russian planes were going over the coast of Alaska, over American territory. They were buzzing ships in the Baltic Sea, U.S. warships. Ships were acting dangerously towards us. And even now, in the Chinese and the sea over there in the Sea of Japan, The Chinese are building islands that are territorially not theirs. They're building man-made islands. There was just an incident the other day where a Chinese destroyer acted very recklessly toward an American destroyer. But you see these incidents where the Russians and the Chinese are doing it. If you look it up, you'll see far fewer times now with Donald Trump as president. And you see rockets flying out of Korea anymore? Since he got tough with North Korea and threatened, and we started flying B-2 and B-2 or B-52 bombers over North Korea and threatening them and doing war games, we sent three strike aircraft carrier strike groups. Do you know what the most powerful wet warfare weapon in the world is today? A United States Naval Air Force carrier strike group, which contains submarines, destroyers, aircraft carrier, or more carriers, you know, and a strike group is the most lethal weapon that the U.S. has. It has every kind of missile and rocket, nuclear weapons, you name it. It's you don't want to mess with it. We sent three of those strike forces toward North Korea into the near. You think China wants us there? You think China wants? Why is China helping calm Rocket Man down? They don't want us there. They don't want Donald Trump sending carrier strike groups in their backyard. Amen. Good preaching, Rabbi. Okay, let's look at Zechariah 14:16. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations. So Donald Trump is the reason the nations aren't attacking, but the nations, Donald Trump won't always be there, and the U.S. and all the other nations will attack Israel because the Bible says so. Read Zechariah 12:14 on your own time. Then it will come about that all who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. That's Sukkot. That's the feast we celebrated last week. That's the one I just showed you in Revelation. And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain. So any family of the earth who survives into the millennium, who survives when the Lord returns to save Israel from all the attack, the nations attacking it, you read these chapters, read 12 and 14, you'll see 12, 13 and 14. Every family of the earth in the millennial reign, when the Lord has taken over and is king, every family that doesn't go to Jerusalem will not have rain. And who doesn't celebrate this feast? So yeah, a lot of Christians, if they went to a synagogue and saw 1,000 Jewish men, like my synagogue in Boston with 1,200 people going like this, would think it was strange. I was talking to a guy last night. He didn't know anything about it, never heard of this. Most Christians have no clue. Hundreds of thousands do. Tens of thousands are in Jerusalem right now, just or leaving. Tens of thousands of Christians from around the world who get it are there celebrating the feast. They also have to have $4,000 to do it. It's expensive, $4,500 to $5,000. It's high season. Everybody say high season. You want to go to Israel and pay top dollar, this is the time of year to go. The rates start going down in about a month. Okay, so why a branch and a piece of fruit? Well, Jesus even told us that. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. Any branch that does not bear fruit will be cast into the fire. So Jews who don't... Glad I have two lemons. Jews who don't know what it means are doing it for Gentiles who should know what it means but don't do it. This is your feast. How do you, what is the fruit of the righteous? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls. Souls! The biggest fruit you can win for the Lord are souls. Amen. And I will teach you, if not today, another Saturday. I've taught before. If you'd like to learn how to win a soul in 2 minutes or less, I'll teach you how to do it. Okay? I'll teach you how to go out in pairs, and I'll teach you how to walk up. I've led waitresses. I've led people on park benches. I've led people walking down the street to the Lord in 2 minutes or less. And I'll teach you how to do it. Okay? I've led hundreds to the Lord just with a few questions and brought them to Jesus. I once led a waitress. It was St. Patrick's Day. And I said to the waitress in Cracker Barrel, I said, what country was St. Patrick from? And she said, Ireland? I said, no, he was a Catholic priest from England. And I said, do you know what his message was? She said, no, what? I said, that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins and he rose from the dead on the third day. Do you believe that? And she said, I'm not really sure. I said, well, have you ever asked him into your heart as your Savior? And she said, no. I said, well, is there any reason you shouldn't ask him right now? And she said, no. I said, well, let's pray. And she said, okay. She closed her eyes and bowed her head and said, just say, pray with me. Dear God, she said, dear God, I've messed up, and I believe that you sent Jesus to make it, to fix it, to cleanse me, and to make my life right with you, to help me, and to give me a new life. Come into my heart, Jesus, and forgive my sins, and write my name in your book of life forever, in Jesus' name. And I looked at her, and I said, oh, how do you feel? She said, awesome. Peace. Took about maybe a minute and 20 seconds to take her from who's St. Patrick to accepting Christ. I'll teach you how to do it. I did it at a Bonefish Grill at last year's Southeast Regional. Done it. You know, I'm happy to share with you because I want you. Daniel says, if we bear fruit, we will shine like the brightest stars in eternity. So I want to teach you, help you to bear fruit. Go out two by two. Amen? We'll go out together one day. We'll go out to a festival or a fair, fall festival or something, or a Christmas parade, whatever. And we'll talk to people about the Lord. All right, so anyway, let's go on. So Sukkot is what you're going to celebrate. So get this. So going back to Solomon. So Solomon said, so God said about the feast, just take a week off. Go back to 2 Chronicles. Put some palm branches together, join in a crowd of thousands, wave the branches in the air while you worship God. This is the pattern. Remember what we're talking about? The pattern of revival. Well, so let's go back and let's recount what we've got so far. We've got do everything according to the pattern God gives you. Jew and Gentile. We are living stones. Jewish stones and Gentile stones. We're not just building a physical house, we're building a spiritual temple, a holy temple, a spiritual temple, a dwelling of God, right? Okay. Now, the fourth or fifth part of the pattern is on the feast. Let's look here in 2 Chronicles, Solomon's dedication, in verse chapter 6. Do-do-do-do-do. Hallelujah. Solomon dedicated the temple. Let's see here. And Solomon prayed in chapter 6. I'm looking for a specific verse. In chapter 7. Now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering. So there we see the fire come down. like Moses, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. All the sons of Israel seeing the fire come down. But before you see the fire come down, you see something else. Go back to chapter 6 and go back to verse 11. When the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, go on, so forth, kinsmen clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. When the trumpeters and singers were to make themselves heard with one voice. Now, there were hundreds of them. Did they have one voice? Or were they in unity? They were in unity. So unity is key. It's part of the pattern. In unison, when the trumpeters and singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Wow. Whew. All right. Now let's go to chapter 7 there. Solomon had finished praying. It says, Now when Solomon, verse 1, finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. Is that revival? And they worshipped and gave praise to the Lord, saying, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people here. Hundreds of thousands. Worshipping God on their knees. Okay? And saying, truly He is good, truly His loving kindness is everlasting. And then you read down further in verse 8, it says, So Solomon observed the feast at that time for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly who came from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. On the 8th day they held a solemn assembly for the dedication of the altar. They observed 7 days and the feast 7 days. Then on the 23rd day of the 7th month, He sent the people to their tents, rejoicing and happy of heart because of the goodness that the Lord had shown to David and to Solomon and to the people of Israel. So on the 23rd day of the 7th month, if this feast begins on the 15th day, and I said it, it's an 8-day feast, right? What day is the 23rd of the 7th month? The last day, right? Of this feast. So are you following the pattern? Jew and Gentile, building according God's building together, Jew and Gentile, building together into a spiritual temple, not a physical one, a spiritual house, amen, and living stones on God's feast at His time, amen, in unity, in unison, singing in unison, worshiping together in unison, one people, in unity, perfected in unity, right? John 17. Celebrating this feast, or any feast, because I'm going to tell you more when I'm about to conclude. This isn't the only revival in the Bible. Remember Pentecost? That's called the Feast of Weeks. The feast, what were all those Parthians, Pergians, Pamphylians, Cretans, Arabs, Romans, and Greeks, Jews, and proselytes? What are proselytes? What were they doing in Jerusalem on that day? And why did Jesus say to His disciples, stay in the city until you be imbued with power, clothed with power? What did He know? What did He know? He knew that 10 days later, when He said that, you can go back and read Luke, the end of Luke and the beginning of Acts. When you read that, You'll see, he knew that the Feast of Shavuot in Hebrew, weeks in Jewish, in English, Shavuot means weeks. Christians call it Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 was a feast. Who was at the feast? Jew and Gentile. What were they? Well, there was already a physical temple. What were they building? They were building a spiritual temple, right? 3,000 were saved that day. That was one of the greatest revivals of the Bible. One of them, right there. Not the greatest. More people were on their knees worshiping God in Solomon's feast. There are other revivals, and they all take place. If you read Nehemiah, I'm going to conclude. If you read Nehemiah, you'll see in Nehemiah 8, it was this feast when they read the book of the law, which they had lost, and Ezra the priest read the law in Nehemiah chapter 8, and the people wept, and Nehemiah said, "Don't weep, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is a holiday. This is a time of a special day. And it says, if you read it in chapter 8, chapter 9, the people celebrated this feast for 8 days, and they went home rejoicing. Are you getting the pattern? That's the pattern of revival. But I asked you a question before from Ephesians 2. It says, the enmity between us will be taken away, and there'll be no more. Go back to Ephesians 2 for one sec. I want to conclude. It says the enmity will be gone. Ephesians 2. And this is my end. I want to just make this final point. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity. What is enmity? It's hatred. It's bitterness. It's resentment. It's anger, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two, Jew and Gentile, into one new man, thus establishing peace. Do you know that when we celebrated this feast last week, many, many people didn't come? Many people didn't come. We invited 13,000 people. 13,000 people. Now, some had their own feast to go to. Some couldn't come because they either lived too far or they were sick or they weren't able to, or they thought they had to camp out. You didn't have to camp out. Maybe they didn't have the money to stay in a hotel, and they didn't have the faith to believe that God would provide. You know, it's possible. You know, but there were people who could have come out of those 13,000. And a lot of people, there were some folks from here who didn't come, who could have come. And there were some folks from the church that didn't come. And the pastor let his own people have it for not coming. Probably 2/3 of the church or more didn't come to the feast. They came Sunday. I taught everything I taught you all weekend long. What I've just done for you in an hour and a half, whatever. I taught in 2-3 sermons between Friday to Saturday. They missed it. Pastor Bill said to his people on Sunday last week, he said, the cross, I'm paraphrasing, the cross was a moment. Pentecost was just a moment in time. The Solomon's temple, the glory, was just a moment in time. When the glory fell on the tabernacle, it was just a moment in time. Are you following me? When Moses parted the Red Sea, it was a moment in time. Had you lived at that time and been in that place, you might have seen it. You might have seen the glory of God. But if you stayed home, when God said, like if you were at the time of Jesus, when Jesus said, stay in the city, and you went to Galilee instead of staying in Jerusalem like the Lord said, you heard him say, stay in the city, and you went to Galilee, you'd have missed it. You'd have missed Pentecost. Right? There's one thing about, these are called God's appointed times, his feasts. You know why they're called God's appointed times in Leviticus 23? Because they're his appointments to show up. And he wants us all to show up. Why? Because you are going to be doing it in eternity, in the millennium, and I'm going to be doing it. And he wants us to start doing it now. Because if we can't do it now, how on earth are we going to do it then? Remember those families that didn't come? Remember those families that didn't come in Zechariah 14? He says, in the millennium, any family from all the nations that went against Israel, or of the remnant that survives after the attack on Israel, any family that doesn't come up to celebrate the feast will have no rain. You have a choice in the millennium. So how are you expect to come if you don't know about it? I was talking to a guy yesterday, a Christian. He had no clue. Why would he come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast if he doesn't know about it? You think he's alone? There's millions of Christians who don't know about it. There's millions of Catholics who walk around with these things at Easter and they don't know about it. They walk around like Jews. Jews walk around on this holiday doing it and they don't know why they're doing it. I did it for 30 years. Probably 35 years not knowing why I was doing it. I didn't know. God had to show me. Now I'm sharing with you what I know. That He is the vine and I am a branch. And he who abides in me will bear much fruit. And that I must be in unity with you. And that we must be in unity together. And that we must come together as Jew and Gentile and celebrate God's feasts, not our feasts, man feasts, but the ones of Leviticus 23, like Shabbat, is one of them. So if you're doing it, you're doing good. Pat yourself on the back. Pat your neighbor on the back and say, you're doing good. You're doing good. Seriously, pat your neighbor on the back and say, you're doing good. Because if you're here, you're way ahead of the curve. If you're here, you're way ahead of the curve. You're going to know. Don't be... Now, if you need to repent, that's fine, if God's telling you. But I'm here to say to you what Nehemiah said. Don't mourn. Rejoice. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Please rise. I want to bless you. And remember, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. There's grace. There's grace. But if you learn something today, this message is online at our website. Go out and share it. Get a CD. Order a CD. Give it out to your friends. Make copies of it. Whatever. Teach your friends. You remember that song, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, teach your children? Teach your friends. Teach God's children. Teach them well. That they might live by God's word. Revival. This is the pattern of revival. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you all. Shabbat shalom. Greet one another. And welcome. Our friend Ron is new with us today. And Janice's friend here is new. Come and greet them, please. And
And Shabbat Shalom.